All right, welcome today. We're going to segue or follow up with a point that I made last week. The name of the message today is turning moments into momentum. And I think, you know, given everything that a lot of people have been going through this year, it's just a way of trying to, jumpstart, especially we're about a month away from finishing off this year and then the new year's starting. So hopefully we'll get things going and get a little more traction for the upcoming year. And things are going to start going a lot better for a lot of people. Amen?
Amen.
So that comes by us being proactive. You know, we have to. I mean, a lot of people, wait and play what's dealt. To me, I like to deal the cards. You know what I'm saying? A little bit. I like that. I don't deal from the bottom of the deck. I play fair. But I do believe that we need to take control. And, just thinking about this, have you ever gotten in kind of a funk sometime? Not funky. I was funky in the 70s, your 80s, doing disco or whatever. But gotten in a funk, where it just seems like there's, kind of a dark cloud that just kind of rests upon you. And it just follows you around all the time. And what I found out in my life is we can either wait for the weather to change, or we can take God at His word and change the forecast. And that's what we need to do, is change our forecast of what's coming in the future. Okay? See, I believe that God will pass over a lot of people to get to a person of faith. He'll pass over a lot of people. And we need to be that person. We need to really have that. Because, like I've always said, it takes faith to do business in the kingdom of God. Faith is a commodity. Down here we use money or plastic, but still it's money. It's a money-based system that you and I live in. But in the kingdom of God, it's different. It's a faith-based system. So that's why it's so important that you and I kind of pay attention to God's word and try to get it down in us so that we can start to do transactions in the kingdom and start to go from glory to glory. Amen? That's God's best. Now we're going to talk today about a woman. Her name is Hannah. And my scripture I'm going to look at first is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. And it says, "Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him.' She said, 'Let your maidservant find favor in your sight.' So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, we thank you for a special stirring in each of our lives and each of our hearts, Lord, that we want more of you. Lord, help us not to shrink back to destruction, but Lord, help us to press on in faith. Lord, right now I thank you for the anointing that you put on my life, Lord. I stir up the gifts, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you to use words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, we bind Satan from stealing the word out of our hearts in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. First point I want to see here is the idea of hard times. And many people go through some hard times from time to time, okay? Hannah was childless. Okay, this passage of scripture here is taken in a whole chapter. Basically, the short story of it is the fact that her husband had two wives, and Hannah was childless while the other one had children. And back in that culture, just like today, I know my wife and I, we had trouble having kids, in the beginning. And it is kind of a bummer sometimes, you just kind of wonder, because you kind of want to be a parent and sometimes it just ain't working out like you want. And back in this culture, if you couldn't produce children, especially a son, it was kind of looked down upon you a little bit. So that's what Hannah was dealing with. And it was kind of a hard time in her life. And to make matters worse, the other wife was kind of always irritating her and making fun of her and kind of jeering her a little bit because she's barren. And so Hannah, back then they believed everything just kind of happened from God. So, they just believed that God had closed Hannah's womb. And I'm sure, if you're like me, that sometimes if you start to blame God, that kind of puts you in a bad spot. If you think that God is somehow withholding something from you for some odd reason. Now the scripture goes on to say they went there and she would go up and she was so distraught. And matter of fact, Eli, you know, she came and prayed at the temple and Eli thought she was drunk. Eli was the priest. He wasn't a real dandy of a priest, and he had a couple kids that were knotheads, you know, and we'll go on that in a minute. But, you know, he thought she was drunk, you know, because her lips were moving, but no words were coming out. And she says, no, I'm just pouring out my heart to God. And then finally Eli, you know, granted her request. You know, so God can even use people that ain't perfect. So, you know, there's hope for us. Amen. So she was childless and she felt judged. And I don't know about you, but have you ever felt judged by other people, you know, for something, you know, that maybe is going on in your life? You know, maybe, you know, bad things are happening to you. And, you know, people think, you know, maybe they're just not, you're not doing something right, or something's wrong with you. You're not thinking right. And maybe you come around other Christians and they say something, well, just use your faith or just do this and that. And, you know, you just kind of get down on yourself. And sometimes that's happened. And like I said, it's worst of all, you know, when we feel forgotten by God. I mean, I think we've all probably prayed some prayers sometimes that maybe some of them aren't even answered yet. And for some reason, we feel that God has forgotten me. And that happens because we're human. We have emotions. Those things kind of come in and we fight against an enemy. And that enemy, you know, comes in, he tries to plant those seeds of doubt and, you know, tries to make us think that, well, God doesn't really care. God doesn't really love you, or you would have had this by now. And see, we wrestle with all those things that's going on. And that's why we need to make sure that we walk, you know, the walk of faith and keep that shield of faith, you know, right up there, because the Bible says those flaming arrows, those lies, those accusations, they're coming at us all the time. And we need to learn how to deal with those things, because everybody here listening to my voice faces this battle. We all do from time to time. So don't think because you have problems that you're doing something wrong all the time. Sometimes, yes, I mean, self-inflicted pain. You know, we do stupid stuff. We say stupid things, you know. But for the most part, the devil just don't like you. And he doesn't like me, and he never liked Jesus. So we just need to deal with that and move on with life. Amen? And start fighting that good fight of faith. So, you know, sometimes, you know, like I said, the rival was taunting her. And you know, and I don't know about you, but do you have that one person in your life that's an irritant? You know what I mean? Don't mention their name right now, especially if you're sitting right by them. Amen. You know, but I think, you know, some people say they're given to us by God to humble us and perfect us, right? I don't. I believe they came from the other guy. You know, I believe that, you know, I don't believe God is that mean. You know, I serve a good God, so I think they come from the other place, but we'll have to find that out later on. Now, as we know, life probably would be a lot easier if it wasn't for people, right? But it'd be a lot more boring too. You know, we wouldn't maybe enjoy some of the benefits of having relationships and all these different things in our life. And this rival of Hannah, she was just always in her face, just kind of stirring her up. She had no place to go. I mean, you know, it's a bummer if you don't have a good home life. You know what I mean? That's tough. You have nowhere to escape. You know, and we minister to a lot of people, and especially a lot of children that doesn't have a place to escape. They can't go to a safe place. They can't go to a place, you know, where they can get away from some of the pain and anguish. And, you know, we need to definitely keep those people in prayer, because it is tough. You know, if you don't have a place to go at home, you know, it's very difficult. So Hannah, she put herself in a dark place. I mean, life was hard the way it was, but due to her probably thinking wrong and all these things, we're going to go into a little bit, you know, she got herself in kind of a funk. Now, something to keep in mind is that she was the favored one. Her husband loved her better, and that probably caused the other wife to, you know, be a little more mean. You know what I mean? Because you could tell. You can tell when you're the favorite, right? And everybody else can tell. And hopefully you feel like you're the favorite somewhere in life, you know? And we all need to feel that. But what happened then, she got herself in kind of a funk that, you know, even though it says that her husband gave her a double portion, because when they went to worship, You know, her husband would give the other wife a portion and all the kids that she had a portion to give to God. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion. That's how much he loved her more. But you know what? Hannah couldn't receive love. She still was in that so dark place. And, you know, there's a lot of people that go through life, they're in such a dark place, and we need to be more understanding and more compassionate to these people, because no matter how many nice things we do for them, they just can't receive it. And that's where Hannah was right now. She was that broken. And see, sometimes we can get that broken. And, you know, it's bad when all, you know, we can't see the good. And, you know, all we can see is the bad. And see, that's why we need to manage our thought life, people. You know, we become what we think about. And all Hannah was on her mind is the fact that I don't have a child. I can't have a child. I'm never going to have a child. There's something wrong with me. There's something broken in me. God does not love me. And it was just taking control of her life. And it put her in that place. But see, that's important that we understand that, you know, we can change our forecast. We can turn that around. You can control what you think about and how you can turn that around. We need to understand that, and that can happen in our life. See, not only are our actions important, but also our reactions are equally, if not more, important. See, anybody can act like a Christian, but see, when pressure's applied, when things don't go the way that we want, or our prayers aren't answered the way that we think they should be, our reaction will tell how deep our faith is. So it's important that we monitor that and we watch it. So we can tell if there's areas, if there's chinks in our armor, you know what I mean? There's open spots for the devil, you know, to get at in our life, and how we can try to close those doors, you know. And everybody goes through problems, and we just need to make sure that brokenness that we go through, that we go through, it'll turn into humility and not turn into devastation. Because when we get devastated, it's hard to get back on track, and we need to try to turn it around. To me, it's like a freight train. You know, we see a lot of freight trains go by over here, them big coal trains, and, you know, they have to fight that big hill over here, and they go so slow across the crossing, don't they? You know, it just takes forever, it seems like. Well, even more than going slow, can you imagine what it's like to get that train started the first time? And see, it's hard to get momentum. See, once you get momentum going, that momentum will carry you through. And see, that's what we need to take a moment and turn it into momentum. But see, sometimes our life, it feels like a freight train sometimes. It feels like, you know, we're just trying to move and our wheels are just spinning. We can't break through, so we can't break free. But I got hope for you today, knowing that through God, we can start to gain some motion, and we turn that motion into momentum, and it'll start to see our life turn around. Amen. And that's what we want to get to today. So we need to make sure that we're walking in the way that God wants us to do. Okay, the second thing we need to see is that Hannah did something very smart. Go to God. I know it sounds like a no-brainer, and we all probably do that, but sometimes I know, in my life, when I got issues going on, that when I go to God, I go half-heartedly. Have you ever done that? Well, I know I'm supposed to pray, so let's just pray this and get it over with. Then I'll go out and try to figure this out myself. You know, that's what we do sometimes. But see, when we go to God, see, what is it? It's a tough place to be. But we have to come to the realization in our life that God has no plan B. There is no plan B. And we need to get on with life. You know what I'm saying? We need to go to God like our back's up against the wall, and there's no hope for any other way unless we go to Him and God works this thing out and God does His miracle working power. Because that's what we need. That's what each of us need operating in our life. You know, I thank God, you know, when I see Him start to move and start to orchestrate some things and work it out, you just stand there and go, wow, you know, that's amazing. You know, how did you do that, God? Well, He's powerful. We're not. See, in the world, sometimes, you know, we feel like we have a lot of options. And when I go buy something, I don't know how you guys do it, but I like to have options. I like to compare a couple things, you know, and just kind of see which one's the best. See, in the world, we may think we have options, but, you know, when it comes to the kingdom of God and God, there's only one option, and that's Him. You know, once we get to the place, you know, like the Bible says, when we confess Him as Lord, we need to make Him the Lord, the master, the boss, the controller in our life, and we surrender to Him. Once we do that, then we start to flow with Him, and then we can start to tap in to that miracle-working power. See, I know I maybe said this before, but the world says there are many ways. For me, there's only one way, and that's Yahweh. Amen? That's God. God is the only way. You know, I've been serving God for over 30 years now that I consider myself born again. I knew about Him all my life. I prayed to Him all my life that I can remember. But I didn't really know Him personally. And see, when I came to Him and understood that He's the only way, that there is no other options, there's not all these other paths out there, ways that we can try to find enlightenment and all the things that the New Agers do. But there's only one way to true life, and that's through Jesus Christ. And see, that's what we have to understand, is that it's only through Jesus Christ. And what happened here is that Hannah's back was against the wall. She was so frustrated in her life, and she knew that she could not fix this herself no matter how hard she tried. And then finally, she really, really, really cried out to God. And she got her breakthrough. She got that for what she was praying for. She acted in faith. Like I said, Eli wasn't the godliest man, you know, but God used him here. And God can use some ungodly people sometimes in our life to speak to our life, to maybe say some things. And what happened here is Hannah turned her moment into momentum when she decided that God was going to answer her prayer. We have to know that we receive when we pray. We have to believe that when we pray that God is going to answer that prayer. Like I said, God will pass over a lot of people to get to a person of faith. And that's why, if you study the old prayer warriors of old, I mean, these guys, I mean, I just love reading about them, the things that they accomplished through prayer. But see, they really took it seriously. They really believed God, and God was their only option. They didn't have any other way to do anything, and so they really needed God to move. And that's where we need to get in our life. See, the Bible says that, you know, if we believe when we pray, it's going to be done, and that's what we need to do. And what happens then is after she hadn't got her miracle yet, but after the prayer, she must have felt some sort of breakthrough. And I believe that. I believe that sometimes when we pray, you know, it seems like nothing's happened, and all of a sudden, boom, breakthrough, you know it's answered. Amen? And see, that's what we need to get to. We need to pray through for breakthrough. Now, what she did then, she was no longer sad. She got on with it. She decided to move on. She went and ate, kind of celebrated a little bit. Not pregnant yet, but she knew it was coming. She was willing to turn that moment at the temple, and turn that into momentum in her life. And she knew it changed the way of thinking and the way she had to look at things. And see, one thing, you know, she did is she made a vow to God. Now, I don't know if you've ever done that. Have you ever played Let's Make a Deal with God? I have. You know, God, if you do this, I'll do that. You know what I mean? And we've already tried that. Now, we usually say, God, if you'll do this, then we'll do that. But usually what happens is that God does this and we don't follow through and we don't do that. Right? I haven't followed through. You know, back in the beginning, walking with God, I thought it was kind of a way of, you know, getting things done. You kind of make a deal and, you know, God will forgive you and stuff like that. But the vow that Hannah made is pretty far out there. She decided that, God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back to you. And that's out there. You know, like I know for us, like when we were spent several years, you know, wanting to have a child and couldn't have one, and we really wanted one. And then if we got one, we was willing to give him away or her away, meaning Kaylee. You know, but that's what she prayed. God, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him back to you. Now, the word dedicate means devoted to a specific task or purpose, and really she made a Nazarite vow, or Nazarite vow, however you want to call it. She set Samuel apart for God's own purpose, meaning no razor was ever going to touch his head. He was going to be sanctified and set apart his whole life. So then the Bible says she went home, and it also means lent. She was lending him to God. You know what I mean? She lent him to God. And what I feel is whenever we give something to God, we are giving him permission to take control of it and use it for his own pleasure. And see, we need to lend our lives to God, people. We need to lend our lives to God. God will still let you live. God will still let you do things. But we need to say, God, I give you permission to take control of my life. And whatever you want to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. I'll tell you what, that is a great place to be. Oh, it's scary out there on thin ice sometimes, it feels like. But I'll tell you what, it's an awesome thing. And so what Hannah did is she turned that vow into a moment, and that moment became a momentum. Now, what she was going to do is that, you know, that vow was going to turn the church around. I know it wasn't the church, it was the Old Testament, you know, but I want us to see the fact that, you know, Eli, he was not the greatest priest, but he was the high priest just because, you know, it was his turn, I guess, or whatever. You know, I'm not really into, you know, like, you know, my own personal opinion, like kings and queens where just you get to be king because you're born into that family. You know, I don't really like that. And the fact like this, the Old Testament, you know, the family of priests, and then it was his turn to be priest, and he might be a real dandy, and he was. As a matter of fact, he had two boys that helped out in the temple, and they were real knotheads, like I said. They would, you know, steal. You know, whenever somebody brought an offering to God, they took it and they said, hey, I want it, because they didn't like it boiled. They had to boil everything. I suppose boiled meat would get a little old after a while. But, you know, they want to roast it with fire or something. So they would take the meat before they could offer it up as a sacrifice, and they say, you know, we're just going to do that. Why? Because I'm in charge. They would also sleep with the women who worked at the temple. So could you imagine, you know, the kind of, you know, immorality that they were bringing, the curse. And we know that later on, that opened the door for the devil and they were killed. But that's another story in itself. But, you know, so that was a tough thing. So this is where Hannah was going to leave her child. Think about that. I mean, some parents are pretty protective, are you? Are you protective where you leave your kids? Man, I know some parents that won't even put their, you know, sometimes they wouldn't even put their kids in the nursery. Not that our nursery workers are bad, just that they don't trust other people. You know, and that's just kind of where some people at. But here, Hannah, you know, she would, you know, was willing to give her son over to this situation. And that brings me over to what happened when Hannah, this is how we turn our life around. It's found in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, then Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. And this is what Hannah was willing to do. This, some call it Hannah's song. It's really kind of a prayer. But her it was a song of praise to God. Now, what she had done is that after she conceived and she had a son, she named him Samuel. And then what happened is that the next year when it was time to go up and make an offering, she stayed home. She says, I'm not going back to the temple until it's time to give my son over to the Lord. So whatever it was, 3 or 4 years old, whenever she weaned the boy, that was her next trip to the temple. And what she did is she packed that boy who had been a part of her life for that 3 or 4 years. And she took him to the temple and she handed him over to Eli and said, this is the boy that I dedicated to the Lord. I want you mothers to think about that for a minute, or even fathers. How hard would that be? But she kept her word, people. She kept her vow. Oh, she could have probably kept him. You know, I don't know what would have happened. But being the godly woman that she was, she understood something about God. that God is good and that she wanted to honor a vow. She had just, you know, she was now, that Samuel was now going to live apart from her. And what she did, I don't know about you, most of us would have probably walked out of the temple or the church, you know, bawling and squalling. You know what I'm saying? Our tears would have been running down our face. We'd have said, woe is me. You know, life is hard. I just prayed for this child and I got him, and now I got to give him away. But the Bible says she came out of the church, shall we say, excited. She was praising God. Here she had just given something that was so precious to her, and she had handed it over to God. And this is what she sung. First it says, my heart exalts in the Lord. You know, like I mentioned, it would be difficult to do that. And I'm sure in deep down inside, her feelings probably didn't feel like, you know, hey, you know, I feel great today. You know, I feel like just dancing. I feel like just getting excited about Jesus. You know what I mean? I just gave my boy I've been waiting for. I just gave him over to God and left him with this corrupt priest and his two knothead sons to kind of be a role model in his life. But I'm sure her feelings weren't totally into it in the beginning. But she shared something with her that you and I need to do. Did you know that there is a way that you and I can control our feelings a little bit? You know, if you just choose to get excited, you choose to start praising God, you know, you may feel terrible, but I've noticed, you know, that if you just choose to, you know, put on some worship music or just start to get excited about God, you can turn that feeling around. And it's worth it, people. We can take a moment and start to make it momentum. We can start to turn our situation around. No matter how discouraged or depressed that we might feel, maybe things ain't going the way that we want. But by an act of our will, by what we say, what comes out of our mouth, we can start to turn that whole thing around. You know, she understood something. Even though she handed him to Eli, she wasn't really giving him to Eli. She was giving him to God. And see, that's where it takes faith and trust upon our part. You know, that when we give something to God, we know that God is going to watch over it. And God is going to take care of it. And that's what some of the things that you and I need to do in life. Maybe you have a child now that's not serving the Lord. Maybe you have one that's just kind of rebellion right now. Give him to God. Give her to God. Say, God, I want you to take control of this. I've done my best. They ain't paying attention to me. But I want them to pay attention to you. Give them to God. Let God start to do a work in their life. And see what it is. Then she said, my horn or strength is in the Lord. See, there's sometimes in life that our strength runs out a lot of times. You know, we get weak and we get kind of weak-kneed and we just can't do it no more. But here it says, my strength is from you. I knew she couldn't do it on her own. But see, God's strength inside of her was able to help her to make that big decision and to leave her. Then it also says she sang and she had authority over enemies. So we need to speak to our enemy with authority. Because he don't pay attention all the time. He doesn't obey the word like we do. So sometimes we just got to remind the devil and just speak it out. You know, you may feel a little crazy sometimes, but sometimes you just got to pray, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you just take your hand off my property. I have authority over you in Jesus' name. You do not have control over me, my family, my finances, but I have surrendered those things to God. You just got to keep reminding. You got to speak it out. You got to speak it out. Keep speaking words of faith. Turn that moment into momentum. But it's going to take us. If we're saying, oh, I'm just waiting for the weather to get better. I'm waiting for a new forecast. You know, says it's going to rain for another week. Or you can start to turn it around. Think and change, mouth change. You know, just like you change the oil in your car, you need to change the oil, you know, to the Holy Ghost, amen? And start to surrender to the fruit of the Spirit that starts to work in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. All these things start to manifest in our life. Then we start to see the victory, you know, that God has for us. But it's going to take us paying attention and doing a part of it. You know, see, we can turn moments into momentum when we stop singing how big our problem is and start singing how big our God is. Believe me, there's big problems out there, but our God is a lot bigger. I like the old saying that, you know, bigger is the God that walks with you than the giant that is standing before you. You know, we need to see that. Our God is bigger than that. Our God can handle that. And she had that great revelation. One of the things that really touched me when I was preparing this is the idea that she got this great revelation from God. And I don't know about you, but I love it when God gives me a revelation. When God just kind of speaks to me and the dots start to connect, and then I start to see the picture. You know what I'm saying? See, she got this revelation that her joy did not come from her child, but her joy came from the God who gave her the child. And that's what helped her. And that's where we need to get in our life. See, she learned to stop putting her eyes on the blessing and to put her eyes on the blesser. When we keep our eyes off the blessing and keep them on the blesser, it'll keep us out of trouble. So what's our song? What song are we singing today? Is many of us trying out for a country western song? Dog just got ran over, lost your job, and the wife left? You know, something like that. You know, are we singing the problem or are we singing the solution? Are we speaking death or are we speaking life? You know, what is it that we want to do? This isn't easy, people, all the time, because you got to force yourself sometimes. Your flesh does not want to do this. Your flesh does not want to change, the old nature. But see, the way that we change it is through speaking words of life and starting to change those things, and then we start to turn, see these things turn around. You know, no matter what's going on, we need to choose to be thankful anyway, no matter what's happening. You know, sometimes we have to say it before we see it. You know, say it so before we see it so. You know what I'm saying? We just have to do that, and that's part of faith. You know, if we're going to break out, we need to shout it out. We need to get excited about some of these things. Amen? We need to get excited about the things of God. You know, go home and lock yourself in a room, and though nobody can see you acting crazy, and just start to speak it out. Start to dance before the Lord. Start to get excited about the things that God's doing in your life and He's going to do. You know, see it through the eye of faith. See, things turned around, and this is how she did it. First, she honored her vow, and then she started singing her song, and things started to change. Even before she got pregnant. She wasn't pregnant, you know, when she started to get excited about some things. You know, blessings started to flow her way. You know, the Bible says here that she ended up having, you know, 3 more sons and 2 daughters. So her quiver was full. Had all these children, even though she gave the one away that she honored. See, the importance that you and I need to see is that we need follow through and we need to keep our word. You know, we need to keep our word. You know, don't be a Jonah. Remember Jonah? Jonah made a vow to God. You know, the Bible says that when he remembered his vow, that's when God brought him out of the fish and spit him on the ground at Nineveh. You know, it doesn't really say what his vow was, but here's what I think it was. He probably prayed that crazy prayer that you and I prayed. God, I'll do anything for you. God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. God, I'll say anything you want me to say. And then God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. He went the other direction. See, we need to make sure we stay on track. We need to be more like Hannah and not Jonah. Amen? Now, Jonah got it right. He fixed it, but he still had a bad attitude later on about some things. So, we need to learn how to turn moments into momentum. I think we learned some things from Hannah today, what you and I can do. The key is to honor our word, guard our thought life, and start to speak blessing in our life. And we need to do that every day. Let's pray.